Welcome to another edition of Only Funny to Us. I am TJ.
I'm deaf.
I am
Ben.
I am also deaf. Cliff.
I am a child of the night, and I make no apologies.
Okay.
What?
Sorry to hear that, actually.
We've actually been sitting here for about 2 hours.
Three hours.
God knows how long.
Yeah, since 8 o'clock.
Well, we got here at 8. But
yeah,
you
we got here
eight.
At 8. You ate chicken in the kitchen.
The luscious studio had a luscious problem.
What was that about? You had to, you brought food. Mm-hmm. You went into the kitchen and you stood in there and ate in there instead of being here with us.
He does it at my house. We'll come in.
And why are you digging in your sock? What the hell is wrong with you? Jesus H. Christ.
Calm down.
He does it at my house. We'll come in like from Hardee's or something, and I'll sit down at the table, you know, the little TV table, and Crowley goes in the kitchen and stands there and eats.
Why?
His caretaker's not here.
I just do that. It's just a habit.
But where did the habit come from?
I don't know.
Not wanting to dirty up a plate, so you eat over the sink. Comes from living by yourself.
Sitting down on a couch or in a chair, drop the food on you and everything, and then his stupid little dogs stand there and, like, these two stupid little dogs, and sit there and want you to feed them, and I can't stand to have little freaking varmints.
All right, let's just let this be known, and we can tag this in when we release this, that Crowley hates dogs.
Well, he hates little dogs.
Right.
I got a pit bull that would be interested in meeting you.
I hate small and medium-sized dogs.
Why?
I don't know. Well, I do know.
He had a bad experience as a child.
Here we go. With a small dog, especially Dachshunds. I especially despise
dogs.
You didn't cook it right.
What?
And Ben's got four of them.
You've got more than... Is that all you have is four? I thought you had more than
four,
that.
No, I got four.
Four.
It seems like whenever I go to your house, it seems like there's like...
Well, the commotion like makes almost, it seem like there's more than
like
four.
Like you're almost a rancher.
And they all live in the house.
Yeah.
Look at the look on his face.
Yeah, of disgust.
You know what?
I could start opening that door in between the den and the room you stay in and let them live in there.
No.
Then shut up. What, did you just tell me I better not do something?
And then there's like,
huh? Hey,
there's
wait
like
a minute.
A ton of beautiful cats that live there,
oh,
and
God
they won't
damn
let a single damn.
There's
one
a ton of
in
feral cats that
that's
live there.
That's a lie. That's a lie.
Oh, we let one, Oscar.
Yep, Oscar comes in.
You don't let Ginger Boy or the Brave Brothers in.
Nope, I don't. Not gonna.
But you're a dog hater.
Yes. Small and medium sized dog hater.
So, like a Great Dane. If I had a Great Dane in here,
Dane, I would be like hanging out with it and petting it and playing with it. Yeah. I knew I had a friend in Columbia who had a Great Dane one time, and it was so funny because that Great Dane would come up to you and jump up on twos.
He'd they had to get rid of it after you left, didn't they?
And he was taller than me.
They had to get rid of it.
Did he ever mount you?
Y'all are such asses. I don't have time for this.
That poor dog had to get counseling after you.
I don't have time for this.
Like, sounded like y'all were in love.
I don't have time for this mess.
He was
mess
taller than me. He was tall, dark, and handsome.
I don't have
all right,
time
all
for
right,
this sh- mess.
All right, for real. Secret lovers.
Oh,
that's
God.
That's what we are.
See, he finished it. That means it's true.
It did. Was that your first time?
Well, speaking of first times, let's talk about first times.
Mine was all right.
Mine was horrible.
Yeah, ooh, awkward.
Y'all. Oh, gosh. Let me tell you about mine. Okay.
Well, you seem a little excited about that.
It's great. I mean, I've been wanting to share this with somebody for a while now. There's hair on my
thanks for picking that off.
But anyway, yeah.
For sure.
And your therapist wouldn't listen
totally
to you?
Cool. It's totally cool. Well, starting off, a friend of mine hooked us up.
Okay.
It happened at my place. I mean, I could barely contain my excitement.
He looks like he's about to go off now.
Oh, yeah, don't go too over the top here.
Easy.
My goodness.
Doesn't need to get you a tissue now?
Well, it started in the kitchen.
Dirty boy.
Yeah.
What's up?
Y'all, I ran my hands over every inch.
Whoa.
Okay.
Now, so we didn't go into that much detail.
I know,
but
we
all
just,
right. All right.
Well, it was so exciting. You
Welcome
know,
to Penthouse Forums with Steve Grohl.
It was so exciting that everything, and I mean everything, got wet.
Okay.
Wet. Oh, gosh. Just thinking about it. Well, anyway.
We can
okay.
tell.
Well, anyway. But so, you know, I put my hands underneath. And I lifted up that box. That sweet, sweet box to my face.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Oh, man, the smell.
Oh, my God.
The smell was so thick and heady.
What?
Just the slightest nuttiness.
Wow, my God.
Wait.
Huh?
Nutty.
Nuttiness.
What?
Well, you know, once I got it ready,
Nutty?
I put just the tip in.
I didn't think we were going into this much detail.
I didn't think we'd get away with it.
God, y'all, it was so hot and sweet. It nearly burned me.
Oh, my God.
It sounds like somebody's got a problem.
Nearly yeah. burned me. Nearly. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. That's when I just decided to just go ahead and I put my lips on it. Oh, and what a good decision that was.
Oh, my God.
Holy sh**.
You sound like you're really into this.
Yeah. Really?
Needless to say, there was so much that a little started dripping down my chin.
What? Well, wait a minute. What
I mean, it filled my mouth so full, you know, there was dripping.
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I never knew it could have been that good, and it's...
What kind of woman was
one
this?
Really, who was this person?
One of the
person?
Fondest memories to this day.
What kind
who,
of woman was this?
Who was this?
Huh?
Who name? Was she?
We're talking about our first times.
What are you talking about?
Talking about a woman?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about my first cup of coffee.
Oh, jeez.
What the hell? Oh, first times. Oh, y'all thought I was talking about sex.
Well, that's what we were talking about.
That's what we were talking about.
No.
My first cup of coffee.
My first
game. All right, well, I feel completely let down, like I'm prom night.
Oh, but I do see some parallels now that I think back to what I was saying.
Sure you do.
There are a few parallels.
When it was hot and steamy in your mouth? I mean, is that the parallel? I mean, what are we talking
dribbling
about?
Dribbling down your chin? What? This is a...
I mean, you know, that's just how excited I get about coffee.
See that?
It really is a passion.
I don't even know.
Speaking of your apartment.
Speaking of your place.
Because that's going nowhere. None of us can follow that up.
Yeah, we're done. Yeah. Because we just gave brief descriptions, and then you went into all that, and my God.
And my first taste of coffee was garbage, and I just threw that, too.
Blasphemous.
So anyway, we do our annual... air quote Skype meeting
weekly
whenever
annual.
This is a calendar. This calendar contains 12 months. Each one of those has 31 days.
Listen, I hate y'all in a specific way.
Good.
Mm-hmm. It's a perfect place to start.
So we do a Skype call
weekly
and annually.
We're doing annual weekly.
Semi-biannual.
Semi-biannual weekly.
Sesquicentennial.
Oh, my God.
Sesquicentennial.
Every 150 years.
And, but anyway, in the middle of our Skype call this week, all we could hear in the back of Crowley's Skype was chaos. What the hell was going on?
One of the floors in my apartment building flooded.
Why?
Turns out that in one of the vacant apartments, pipe burst under the sink.
So, I mean, but the fire alarm was going off.
Yeah, I mean,
was that related?
Somebody or something set their fire alarm
off. I wonder
off.
If they saw the water rushing out of the apartment and just pulled the fire alarm.
This is after they got the water leak contained and they let everybody back in the building.
Right.
They couldn't shut the fire alarm off. They had to wait for some alarm technician.
All right, let's go back. So we're on the Skype call.
Yeah.
And Crowley has to go downstairs. Out into you, were you in the?
No, I think he was going upstairs while we were on Skype because he was outside when we started, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah. I was going back upstairs, but I realized when I got up to like the sixth or seventh floor,
he lives on the ninth.
God. Yeah,
and the elevator wasn't working.
Yeah, I realized that the alarms were still going off throughout the building.
Yeah, so did we.
Yeah, and each individual room has an alarm inside, doesn't it?
Right.
Oh my gosh.
And his plan, this thing is loud now, and his plan, well, he tells me, I talked to him a little later, he's like, yeah, I'm just sitting in my car, just waiting. I was like, well, why don't you just, you can't go up? He says, well, each room has its own alarm, and it's really loud, but if they don't get it shut off, I guess I'm just going to have to try to go up there and go to sleep and ignore it. I was like, ignore it? It cracks your skull as it goes off, it's so loud.
It was amazingly loud over Skype.
Get a hotel room.
So what did you do?
Oh, my God. He'd have money.
Exactly. He'd have to spend money for that.
They'd pay it back.
So what did you do? Yeah, they'd pay you back. They'd have compensation.
They'd have to.
Who would pay me back?
Your apartment complex.
Complex's insurance would probably have to pay for
that. I don't know about all that.
You know how much work that would be for him?
Two or three pieces of paper to fill out.
But that they finally came.
That's
and
two
about
or three,
11:30, it was, the alarm was shut off, so I walked back up to my apartment.
So what time did you finally get to sleep?
Probably about midnight.
Oh,
that's not too bad.
Midnight, 12:30.
Poor baby. What time do you normally... Look, he's yawning now.
He's digging in his feet again.
You're talking about sleep.
Yeah, what's the deal with your feet?
My restless leg is acting up. Remember?
He sounds like somebody in a nursing home.
When I get tired.
Something to do with your eye.
My legs get restless.
Yeah, I know that
squirrel
feeling.
Poop on your leg.
Ben knows
too.
What I'm talking about. It happens.
He'll start. We'll be playing somewhere late, and he'll start shuffling his legs.
I have to move my legs
and rubbing his head.
I have to move my legs.
I'm like, oh, geez, here we go. He's tired.
It's like restless leg. If I try to stay still, I start feeling these. It's like these urges.
Well,
I have to move my legs.
I get the rubbing of the head thing because when I get tired, like if I'm driving and I get tired, I just start. Rubbing my head, rubbing my face.
For luck.
Please don't let me hit anything.
Please don't let anything happen. So that's what's happening now. So we're going to have to deal with you bouncing and...
And gyrating. Well, we've and jostling.
Drinking coffee.
Yeah, I was about to say, we already
just like that experience with your coffee.
So you just put the tip in? What tip did you put in?
I was talking about my tongue, the tip of my tongue into the coffee, and it burned because it was still hot.
So it's all about, it's all about mouthfeel.
Yeah.
That's it. Quote uses quote mouthfeel.
Explains the nuttiness.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing when you said I lifted that sweet box.
It was hazelnut.
Oh.
Well, I get it now.
The box of coffee.
No,
the
now
little,
we
the
see.
The Keurig things.
Yeah, you're right. Now we see. But before. Sounded like you were... anyway.
I don't even know what to do with you.
I should
like
clarify.
To me.
It wasn't my very first coffee of my life, because the first coffee of my life, God, I was probably 3 or 4 years old.
Now that's child abuse. That's...
You really?
I was talking about the first coffee I made with my new Keurig.
Oh.
Thank you, William and Lori.
Other coffee makers are available.
Yeah.
We have to say that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry.
You can pick them up anywhere.
That was all saying.
Not all of us can suck up.
That's right, because if you look on Facebook, William has been questioning why his wife is so infatuated with you, and he's wondering if there's something he needs to know.
We're sleeping together, William.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well,
there it is.
The truth comes out.
Sorry you had to find out this way.
Well, good night, folks. That's the end of this show. Probably the end of Crowley.
Yeah. We're going to get sued, guys. We're going to get sued.
So,
I got nothing.
Oh, damn it.
So, you know.
Y'all are a bunch of perverts.
Wait a minute.
I just want to go on the record. You're a bunch of perverts because I'm sitting there talking about my first coffee experience with my new awesome, f***ing awesome Keurig. And y'all think I'm talking about sex. I mean, you think about sex all the time. What is with you people?
I think you're slightly over-invested.
We're heterosexual and we like women.
Yeah. What do you like?
Mm-hmm.
Coffee.
You know, some people use coffee to make enemas or to perform enemas.
You ever done that?
You into that coffee that way?
You ever shoved?
Pop one up your butt and...
Yeah.
Stomp in the bag kind of thing?
Stomp in the bag. stomping the bag? What does that
mean? I think you're like one of those rockets.
I don't know what that is. I don't even know what to say to that.
One of those air hog water rockets.
What just the hell? On it. Yeah. Boosh.
You need to spend more time on the internet learning these things.
Oh,
now, here's how it works. Apparently, there's a bag like a hot water bottle with a hose in it, so you can stand up and use it. And you
put it
put
into
the
your
hose where it needs to go, and then you stomp on the bag to create positive pressure. And then you relax.
Does it shoot out your sinuses?
Is this like
that's
for
if you stomp too hard?
It's for cleaning your colon.
Oh my God! It's like a neti pot gone.
What
wrong.
Are you?
Yes,
five.
A neti pot gone incredibly wrong.
The term is pretty common, and we use it all the time. And you'll have to beep,
right.
And you should beep it out. The term is douchebag, and that's exactly what it is.
No, I'm not beeping that out. That's good.
All right. Well, there you go. It's the old-timey style.
I'm sorry. I'm not that adventurous.
You're really not.
Especially not with, like, 200-degree coffee.
Oh, God.
Imagine that.
That would clean you out.
That pucker you, boy.
Don't clinch.
That clean and seal.
Ain't no blowing on that to cool it down, either. You got to put more cream in it.
Oh, you ever blow on anything?
No.
Cool it off for me.
Isn't there some kind of new topic we can... Isn't there some kind of new topic we can soog into?
Yeah, there is, as a matter of fact.
I don't know what it is.
This is more fun.
Freaking ass weirdos.
All right. Should we do it?
Yeah, go for it.
All right.
Got his papers right there.
Coming up next, we are going to do a new segment called Stump the Steve.
I thought you were going to say Stomp the Bag.
That's the next YouTube video. Stomp the Bag with Steve.
We're going to take the Stomp the Bag challenge.
Oh, God. I'm not putting the hose in.
And it's going to be for, instead of ALS, it's going to be it's going to be for IBS. Those who don't know, irritable bowel syndrome. Irritable bowel syndrome.
Anyway, we'll be right back.
Al Stodcast. If you listen, you're going to hell.
Hey, can I get a ride?
It's Al's Toddcast, available for download on iTunes and at OFTUnetwork.com.
All right, so welcome back to Only Funny to Us, and we're going to introduce a new segment that we're going to do periodically. It's called Stump the Steve.
Unless it flops royally.
Yeah, and then we'll do
Jesus
something.
Christ. Sorry. Cliff, when you try to talk with a trash fire coming out of your mouth, it muffles it just a bit.
It's just steam.
Do that,
it's just
do that.
Vapor.
Let's do that again. Okay. All right, Cliff, regular talking. Before you.
This is me speaking normally.
Now taking your puffer.
I'd say the same thing. Good God.
This is me. You didn't make me laugh.
I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
You sucked water. On that thing for... Well,
pardon me.
I can smell it. What is it?
Are we
it?
Talking about Steve again?
What is it?
Here we go.
Because it smells like a...
This is me talking with the vapor coming out. There you go.
It smells like a Black and Mild.
Why do you know
bubblegum.
About... Why do you know what Black and Mild smell like? You ever hang around a crowd that smokes a lot of Black and Milds?
I've been around people who smoke Black and Milds. I mean,
really?
Really?
Haven't y'all?
No.
Really, no.
Okay, it's, you know, pretty common.
Black and Mild, Black and Mild, Black and Mild, Black and Mild.
Stump the Steve.
Anyway.
All right, Stump the Steve. Here we go. Because you get kind of pretentious with all your, I read a lot of books and I know a lot of stuff and
I'm
blah, blah,
star.
Blah. I'm the star of the show. And
I don't get pretentious about anything.
Even on the cover of The List magazine, which is still available in stores all
That's
over
right.
the area, you're first in line.
And the only one looking at the camera.
And the only one looking at the camera.
Making a complete donkey of himself.
I think they call that an attention whore.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know what? You are a future Kardashian.
Wow.
All Steve, you got to do is have.
Well, stick with him then. Oh,
if God, we can get video, man. If we can get video of you having sex with Ray J, we can. Black and mild.
I think I just kicked the dog by accident.
Don't stomp the Steve. Here we go.
Is that like Ruth the Steve?
All I Sorry. Know is that I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, the rest of us do. All right, so here we go. Stump the Steve. I'm gonna give you some basic trivia questions.
Now, if he can't answer, do me and Cliff get our...
Yeah, you guys get a shot. Okay. You guys can prove that you're smarter than Steve. That'll be part of the Stumping the Steve.
That should be easy.
All right, here we go. Are you ready? Now, do you want to... Should I give him multiple choice or just have him answer it outright?
Let's start out outright and see how it goes.
All right, here we go.
All right.
This is number one.
He had to pause and decide it was no.
Could have been zero. Could have been two. We don't know.
I'm trying to decide which I'm going to start him off with. Here we go. Right. What is the?
Jesus, well, already.
What is the smallest digit on the human body?
On Steve's body or no?
That's why. See now, you know why I'm laughing. Smallest digit on the human body. Go.
The pinky toe.
Is that your answer?
Yes.
You guys?
Oh, I don't know. Just tell us whether he's right or not first.
Pinky toe is right.
Oh, okay.
Booyah. Yeah.
So, all right, here we go. Now he's getting all pretentious. Here we go. What was the name of the computer in 2001 A Space Odyssey?
HAL 2000. HAL 9000.
That's
right.
HAL 9000.
HAL 9000. I was about to bust your ass on the HAL 2000.
You know how they gave him his name? Transpose one letter of HAL, you get IBM.
Yeah, that's true.
As I'm looking at it, yeah, it is IBM.
How about that?
That's fascinating. All right, here we go.
Little known movie trivia.
All right, what is the name of a beaver's home?
God damn.
Cliff.
Sorry, somebody was going to say
answered it. A dam.
Okay.
What's the name of a female dog?
All right, here we go. Who was the top-selling artist from 1999 to 2006? Now, I'll give you multiple. I'm going to give multiple guesses on this one. Okay.
Okay.
Mariah Carey, Madonna, Usher, or Britney Spears?
I'd have to say probably Britney Spears.
And you would be right. We're not stumping this
not at all.
Jackass. Here we go.
I can tell you how to stump him.
Sports questions.
Sports questions. Easy sports questions. Fuck. Any easy sports questions.
We'll probably have to get to that. Here we go. Which country was the first to give women the right to vote? Oh yeah. Wow. Now we got them.
Wow. Just take a guess.
Norway.
Norway? Is that your answer?
Yeah.
All right, do you guys want to venture a guess? Because he is wrong.
I'd say United States.
All right.
And I might be wrong, but I don't know.
China.
Oh, yeah. That's accurate. That's a good one.
It was actually New Zealand.
New Zealand, okay.
New Zealand was the first to grant.
Did not know that.
I figured it'd be a Scandinavian country.
All right, here we go. He might be able to get this one.
All right.
What was the last album released by the Beatles? The last album released.
Yeah, Let It Be.
By the Beatles.
Let It Be.
Damn.
Is that right?
Let It Be.
Oh, I'd have never got that.
Okay.
Who won last year's Super Bowl?
I couldn't answer that one.
Let It Be.
The Beatles.
The Beatles.
Exactly.
All right, here we go. What living bird has the largest wingspan? What living bird
Latin
has...
name, please.
Yeah, let's
get a scientific name.
Scientific Latin name. No, what bird has the largest wingspan?
The albatross.
Damn it! Friggin' albatross. All right, here we go.
Was it?
Yes!
Are you kidding me?
No! You can tell by my anger that...
That was a total guess.
All right. How many planets have rings made of ice and dust particles? How many planets have rings made of ice and dust particles?
Steve?
Should be easy. It's a dusty ring question.
Two?
Steve says two.
You say two. That would be incorrect, Ben.
I'll go with four.
Four? Cliff, do you concur or do you?
All of them. Eight.
No, it's actually four. Huh? Uranus, Saturn, Neptune, and Jupiter.
What was that first one?
I know all about Uranus.
No, I'm sure you do.
You don't have to bring my anus into this.
All right.
Have you ever brought anything into Uranus?
Oh, what? Let's go back to eighth grade and do all these jokes.
Yeah, now we're going to stump to Steve. Have you ever brought anything to Uranus?
Can we please just go to the next question?
Next question.
All right. Thank you.
What waterways do the Suez Canal connect? What waterways did the Suez Canal connect? What waterways?
Mediterranean Sea and the Red Sea.
I don't know. What, is he right?
Yeah, he must be right. Because
look on TJ's face was like, son of a bitch.
I wanted to go with harder questions. Damn it.
Switch back to them. You still have them.
I do. But here we go. What is the collective term for nightingales?
Oh.
What is the collective term for nightingales?
Oh, nightingales.
Oh, it's going to be.
With an S.
That's what I said, nightingales.
That's already a collective term, isn't it?
No, like a flock. Gales. Or a...
Don't give them any hints.
Is it a flock?
No.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a choir, isn't it?
No. Ben?
I have a plethora.
It's a watch.
Oh, okay. Well,
watch of nightingales.
Oh, who knows that?
Apparently, whoever wrote that thing. Yeah.
I mean, you've known everything else so far, and then when you get something wrong, it's like, ooh, who knows that?
Anyway,
how long did the third Arab-Israeli war last?
6 years.
Ben,
6 days.
Cliff,
5 or 6 days. I can't remember.
6 days.
Oh well. I was kind of close.
Yeah.
I got a six.
Well, you actually were. 1,000 days off.
You were as close as eating an Apple phone or eating a real apple. That's how close you were.
I was six.
All right, here we go. What, I knew that. Which famous gangster was called Scarface?
Al Pacino.
I knew it.
Robert De Niro.
Oh, I hate you.
Who was it?
It was...
No, I won't
say it.
Al Pacino.
No, the real answer.
I don't know.
So Al Pacino is your answer?
Well, Ben? He played Ben? In the movie Scarface.
Ben?
Al Capone.
Al Capone, is the correct answer. Dumbass.
Al Pacino.
Who ate oysters?
Let that booty hell, yeah, let that booty. Al Pacino.
Booty sweat and bust a nut.
Popping ass open.
Focus.
Yeah, whatever.
Losing focus is our strong point.
That's
yeah,
right.
No doubt.
Who ate oysters with the carpenter?
That and electronic fart noises on the
podcast.
Who ate oysters with the carpenter?
What the hell kind of question is that?
Oh, man. You know what this
I don't know.
The Cliff has got it already.
All right, we'll let Cliff answer because Crowley has no clue.
Crowley, you got no clue.
I have no idea.
Ben, what you got?
No,
The walrus.
Oh, is that from
Alice
the Beatles?
Wonderland.
Thing? Oh, it's from. Oh, shit. Okay, no wonder.
I didn't read that damn book.
And
you
finally.
What our listeners sound like?
Probably worse.
Who did Alan Alda play on the show MASH?
Hawkeye?
Uh huh. Wrong.
Oh, I didn't watch MASH.
Benjamin Pierce.
Hawkeye.
Didn't watch MASH.
Benjamin Franklin Pierce.
Yeah, I think that
his
was
nickname
Hawkeye.
Was Hawkeye.
It says Benjamin Franklin Pierce
know,
on the damn
went,
piece of paper.
But he went no, by Hawkeye.
Was he Hawkeye or was
Hawkeye,
his buddy?
Hawkeye
his,
Pierce.
No.
Trapper was his buddy.
Somebody. His buddy was Trapper John.
But one of the buddies, he went through a couple of buddies before the show ended.
Because on the movie they had Trapper John, Hawkeye Pierce, and Duke, which Duke didn't go to the TV show. Duke Forrest.
Was Trapper John the same one that went on to be Trapper John MD?
Yeah, John was played by Elliot Gould in the movie.
Right.
Hawkeye Pierce was played by Donald Sutherland.
All right, upon further review.
So somebody owes me an apology.
He balls the paper up and throws it away because he knows.
Somebody owes me an apology. Somebody owes me an apology.
That's bad.
Right. See, you wonder why you got the name Snobnose.
Really?
Exactly.
He did just throw that paper.
He just threw that at me.
Yep.
You are a piece of crap. All right, well, here we go. Now we're going to try to stump you again. We're going to try to stump Steve again.
As soon as we find
Let's
it.
Do it.
This is called Changing the Channel. You remember the old days when we all grew up, we didn't have the cable boxes.
Some of us didn't grow up.
Yeah. We didn't have the cable boxes we have now.
Right.
And you had to switch the channels to get to what you were looking for.
That's correct.
And sometimes you had to use the UHF.
Oh, yeah.
To get there.
So, no, we always had cable with HBO. We weren't poor like you.
Well, I was poor.
We lived down there with the Crowleys.
Keith, I need to start a fire. Bring the hundreds.
I got to go take a poop. Can I get that roll of fives?
I have no idea where you all get all that from.
Whatever.
Fertilizer money.
No one else I knew had a laundry chute in their house from the second to the first floor straight to the laundry room.
I didn't know that you had a laundry chute.
Did you ever ride it?
I was too small for a person to fit in.
Oh, darn.
Yes, he had a laundry chute.
You had a laundry chute.
Do you have a dumbwaiter, too?
No.
Yes.
Not to disparage anyone who waits tables, but...
Did you have a maid?
No.
Who did the ironing?
Yes.
Maider.
Uh-huh. They did have really? A maid.
Yeah, you had one? You had a maid?
Oh, Steve.
Tell her name Agnes.
Put the phablet down. Let's talk.
Why are you looking at your phone? We're talking. You had to tell them about your maid.
I didn't have a maid.
You did. If you were a member of the household, we had a maid.
Somebody that... My parents paid to come in to clean the house once a week.
That's called a maid.
Yes.
Well, it's not like she lived with us.
She was paid to do housework at your home, correct?
Yes.
Then she was a maid.
Okay.
And you had a maid.
Well, what's that?
We didn't have a maid.
We didn't have one.
Well, I'm sorry.
Oh, now he's apologizing for being well off and rich.
Look at you. Do you feel bad about it?
Well off and rich.
I wonder if that's why he acts so pretentious all the time.
I do not act pretentious.
You're kind of a snob nose.
So you're not acting, is what you're saying.
And that's why they called you snob nose.
That's right. That's why
because they knew you had a maid.
I don't know about all that.
Anyway.
You had a maid.
I didn't have a maid.
Did she clean your room?
I guess. I don't remember.
He's so above the working class, he doesn't even know. Yeah. He doesn't even know what they did.
I don't know what she did.
I was busy playing cricket.
I have no idea what she cleaned.
Did you make her call you Mr. Drummond?
I'm glad you said, what was her name?
I don't remember.
Oh, he didn't even bother to learn her name.
She's not even important enough.
Sean had a maid.
Oh, so I guess Sean was all rich, too.
Yeah, but they knew her. She was like a member of the family. Her name was Annie. She was really nice.
They knew her. Yeah, they probably took care of her.
Yep.
Gave her Christmas gifts, and you were just like,
Get out of my room, woman.
I need to sleep. I don't know who you are. You're like Stewie Griffin.
Did she draw your bath for you?
No, of course not.
Oh, they also had a hot tub on the back porch.
I have soiled. Clean me.
He didn't tell you that, did he? They had a room in the front of the house they didn't use at all. It was just for... It had double glass doors that you had to open inside the house now. Double glass doors. Go in that room and you didn't touch anything. It was just too fancy.
It was a museum.
A piano in there with dark wood accents.
Was the no-name maid allowed in there, or was that off limits for her too?
Oh, we didn't have a maid then. By that point, we didn't have a maid anymore.
Now, would you categorize her as a maid or a servant?
I don't even know. I don't remember.
See,
hardly
again,
remember her.
So
pretentious. I don't remember her name.
I don't know what her name was.
It was just somebody that came in and cleaned house once a week.
I don't know what her
role
was.
There's those services that people pay.
I couldn't be bothered with it.
We had butlers and servants.
You had a butler? I knew it.
No, we didn't have a butler.
Was his name Benson?
We didn't have a butler.
Did he look like...
And then there's Mom! What, Maude a maid?
I don't know what you... That just scared me.
Maude was a maid?
I know, it sounded like something was screeching in the...
It wasn't.
No, Maude... No. Then there was Maude, and I thought Maude was a maid.
I don't know what Maude was. I didn't.
It was B. Arthur. It was B. Arthur. There was Maude. Wasn't Maude the maid?
I don't know. I'll look to see if Maude was a maid.
Was it Mrs. Garrett?
Maude got in a car accident, really bad car accident at the end of the series, and got amnesia and woke up and thought her name was Dorothy. And so she went to Miami.
Florida. Shacked up with three other women.
For a moment, I was actually buying into that dumbass story.
She is Maude Findlay, an outspoken, middle-aged, politically liberal woman living in suburban Tuckahoe, Westchester County, New York, with her fourth husband, household appliance store owner, Walter Findlay.
God's going to get you for that. I think that's what she used to say.
I think, yeah. But I do. Now, Walter Findlay sounds familiar.
Maude embraced the tenets of women's liberation, always voted for Democratic Party candidates, strongly supported legal abortion, and advocated for civil rights and racial gender equality.
It was a spinoff of All in the Family, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yes, she was.
However, I guess she was the maid for the Bunkers, wasn't she? Is that what you're thinking about?
Or was she the maid for the Jeffersons?
I mean,
no, that was
that was Florence.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, before they moved.
Oh, I don't know, maybe.
Before they moved up to the big time.
All in the Family is a spinoff. No, Jefferson was a spinoff from All in the Family because George Jefferson used to argue with Archie Bunker. Yeah.
She was Edith Bunker's first cousin.
Oh, okay.
So it didn't say anything about her being a maid, so yeah.
So I guess her name couldn't have been Maude.
Of course, Archie Bunker, All in the Family was not an American TV series. It was a British TV series called...
Mrs. Jefferson was the Bunker's maid, wasn't she?
No. The spinoff was...
Wheezy was the...
was George's wife. George owned a dry cleaners.
Right, but I think she
I think she was the...
She couldn't have been... She wasn't the maid. Was she?
I have no idea.
I don't think she was.
Yeah, I looked. I can't.
So there's nothing on Mrs. Jefferson being...
Nothing I can see. I could have swore I remembered her doing some kind of... But maybe it was just around her house. I don't know.
I mean, it might be. I mean, or maybe she was just helping out.
Could be. I don't know.
But I can't remember. We actually... And just to let you off the hook there, Mr. Steve. We had a maid when I was a very young child.
Well, my grandmother had one.
And her name was Fanny.
Ours was Bessie.
Bessie, we had Fanny.
She was super nice. I liked Bessie.
Oh, she was, yeah, she was absolute best.
Wait, her name was what?
Fanny.
Oh, God, my Fanny.
Oh, that couldn't have fit. That couldn't have worked better if you tried.
Hang on a second. I got to take a drink here.
Vodka.
Of Fresca.
Nasty, nasty.
What?
Oh, isn't God,
that,
I hate it.
Isn't that grapefruit flavored?
No.
It tastes like Alka-Seltzer.
No.
Yes, it does.
Fresca is the best.
It's horrible. No. I had a Fresca one time years ago. Neil Blue said, or is he, either him or Eric, one of them said, yeah, man, try a Fresca. So I bought one out of the machine. One of the worst mistakes of my life. That was horrible. I had to pour it out.
Actually, I'll tell you the worst soda that I ever had.
God, it's so gross.
And I'll call out Cal Wheeler on this one. Mm. It was... celery soda.
What?
Celery flavored. Cliff remembers the celery.
I don't
flavored
think I remember that
soda. It was a. It was
Who
a
made
little,
it?
Gosh, I don't even know. I can't even remember. It was like a little fad that went on.
Really?
And celery flavored. And it was
bad.
The worst.
Celery.
It
was Browns or Celery.
Celery, but it was like celery flavored. I mean, it was. It was supposed to be like a... I mean, it was...
I saw Cal Wheeler yesterday, Mr. Hartsville himself.
Dr. Brown's Celery Soda. Available on Amazon.com.
Which you can go to our
link to
our Facebook page.
Yeah,
and
yeah, that's right. If you want to buy some nasty-tasting celery soda, be sure and use our link at www.onlyfunnydust.com.
$26 for a four-pack.
What?
Oh, no.
No, that's not the same stuff. No. That's... That's, you can't be the same stuff.
It says four. It says pack of four, but then the picture shows six. Yeah.
What does it have? Flecks of gold in it?
Yes.
Well, it's the ship, and it's probably coming from New Zealand or Australia or something.
Or wherever the hell they make that stuff now. Right. But it was celery flavored soda.
Oh,
and it was
awful.
Now, Fresca.
I always hated Red Rock, too. Nasty. Crowley loves
really?
Red Rock.
No, I like it. I know Red Rock is good.
I don't like it now. I've actually. I've had
it's
it.
It's not as good as Cheerwine.
I've had it in recent years, and it's not that great.
Really?
Now, Cheerwine, I hate Cheerwine.
Oh, I love Cheerwine.
Blaspheme.
I bought a Red Rock one time thinking I was getting something that was going to be similar to Cheerwine.
Oh, yeah. Now, you know one thing that I haven't tried?
What?
Then it's indigenous, if you will, to this area, is Blenheim Ginger Ale.
I've tried it. It was hot. I didn't really care for it.
Well, it's supposed to be hot. I mean, it's kind of like the thing.
I didn't care for it.
But it's spicy or?
Well, it's just kind of,
it's hot.
Yeah, it's just a.
Hot
it's
ginger.
It's just a spice, kind of a hot. It's just not, I didn't like it.
I don't know if, I can't quite remember, but when my dad was alive, when I was a kid, and, you know, he worked for IMC.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of his clients were the Blenheim Ginger Ale people.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sometimes going with him when he would travel around the area to go visit these people. And we would go to Blenheim. We would go where it was. And thing I remember is we go into the guy's office. And it was right beside a swamp. And the guy.
Nice. And the now guy, we know the secret ingredient.
No. Welcome to Blenheim.
But what I remember was I was so fascinated by going there is because the guy had on his wall. He had a wasp nest that they had found out in the swamp, and the thing was like, it was huge.
No one can see your hands.
I know. Only you guys can see my hands, but I mean, it was a wasp nest that was probably
foot and a half across.
3 or 4 feet.
Oh,
wow.
In diameter.
Well, then you're bad
across.
At judging.
Yeah, really good.
Bad at judging things by your hands because that's not 3 or 4 feet.
Yeah. One of those hanging on the wall, and it was shellacked and everything preserved.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had a hornet's nest that they also found out in the woods there, near there, and the thing was just gigantic. And he had that shellac.
Dude, could you imagine walking up on something like that out
no.
there? And just,
well, you know, and that brings up a good question. Steve, I never knew what your dad did for a living.
He was a fertilizer salesman.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I never knew that.
Yeah,
I just,
for the Rainbow.
For IMC.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
For, like, forever?
He was as long as I knew him.
Yeah, until he retired.
That's the only thing. Because, I mean, I know what...
and then
Cliff's,
after he
Cliff's
retired...
Cliff's dad was in the military.
My dad was a contractor / engineer for nuclear, for CP&L at the time. But he was in the National Guard for 30-something years.
Oh, National Guard. Okay. But I knew... The only thing I knew about your dad is that he flew helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still kind of confused. I know my dad was a chemical engineer for Sunoco, but I think he did some sales on the side as well.
Yeah, he was making meth.
And
pharmaceutical
no,
sales.
My brother was stealing stuff out of the lab to make his own pharmaceuticals
probably.
At the house.
Yeah.
But I do know that Dad used to do. They would get new equipment around the country, and he would research how to use it, and then he would go and train them how to do it. And he would go to like Venezuela and Canada and Mexico and all over the world to do these training sessions. But I never knew, Steve, what your dad ever did. Now, did your dad or your mom ever do anything in your past that would be considered illegal in today's world? For example, let me give you for instance. Did they ever leave you home alone under the age of 12?
Oh, I'm sure mine did.
Yeah.
They did?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the first time that I was left home alone.
I remember. I don't know how old I was. I was probably around 12 or 13, and my parents, and Adam wasn't home. I don't know where he was. He must have been spending the night off, but it was when we were living over on Cherokee, mm-hmm. and some teenagers across the street had just a huge party over there. I mean, it spilled out into the road. There was probably 200 people out there. It was
wow.
huge. And I was fine with it. I was in the house. You know, my mom and those weren't home. And I was in the house. House was locked up. And I was in there watching TV. Well, what got me scared at the time was some drunk dude came up and was trying to get in my door, in the front door. And he was
really,
yeah. He was just drunk. Didn't know. I'm sure he didn't know where he was, but scared me because I was young. So I went to the kitchen and got a butcher knife.
God.
And I went out there and I just sat on. I called Mom and I sat on the couch and I said, if he comes in this door, I'm going to stab him. I was, because I didn't know who he was or why he was there. But if he was, you know, beating on the door and trying the doorknob and beating, saying, let me in. And I was just waiting for him to come in. I was going to get him right in the chest.
And that, the
but Mama, when I called Mama, she called the police, and they came out and broke it up.
The sad part is it was probably because I think some of my brother's friends
possibly
lived in that neighborhood.
Yeah, might have been Steven. Almost ended him.
It might have been my brother. I still can't. I don't think that my... They always left me with somebody. I can't remember the first time that I ever got to be at the house alone.
That might have been one of my first times.
It was never at night. My parents never went anywhere at night. I mean, during the afternoon.
They were in bed at 9 o'clock.
During the day, I've been left alone at the house.
In their separate beds.
Did your parents sleep in separate beds?
No.
I was just kidding. Like Lucy and Ricky.
Well, my grandparents slept not only in separate beds, but in separate bedrooms.
Mine did too, and it was because my grandfather snored. Something funny, Mama mentioned this to me. I remember several episodes ago, I was talking about how my mother and my aunt Jean always got in trouble, but Aunt Kathy never did.
Yeah.
And I was trying to remember all the things my mama did. Well, apparently one night, Papa was in there sleeping after he'd got, you know, worked at Sunoco or whatever, and Mom decided that every shoe in the house needed to be in the bed with him. And she went around and gathered up all the shoes from around the house and put them in bed with my grandfather. I have no idea why.
Steven did that to...
That sounds like something I would do.
Steven did that. My brother Steven did that to my aunt.
Yeah.
Well, not that, but something similar on her wedding day. He lined the bed with saltine crackers on both sides where she was sleeping. So when she rolled over into saltine crackers.
Oh my God!
Those are great. But I still can't remember the first time that I was ever left home alone. Now this is something my mother was horribly guilty of. Smoking in the car we were in the car.
I mean, for years, I thought that was the only way the inside of a car was supposed to smell.
Exactly.
Cigarette
smoke. That was
me too,
yeah. My mom
did. You get into
that.
A car that was for non-smokers, and you're like, well, this is kind of nice. What is this, you know?
What air freshener are you using?
Well, my mother smoked like a chimney, and, you know, and she'll quit for a while now, and she'll smoke. She'll quit for a while, just whatever. But, yeah, any car we ever owned was just eat up with cigarettes.
And the saddest thing is that's one of my favorite smells now, as being the smell of a car.
I hate it.
With the air conditioning going with cigarette smell. But at the same time, if I get out, you know, like if we go out whenever you guys are out doing something over at Max or whatever and everyone's smoking inside, or you go to a bar and you get out, while I'm in there, I don't mind the smell. But when I get out,
smell on you is terrible.
Oh, I can't stand it.
When I walk in the door at the house, if we've been in a bar working, and I walk in the front door, Glenda can smell it in the bedroom. She knows I've, you know.
Well, I mean, when I quit smoking, I could smell people smoking in cars like two and three cars ahead of me.
Oh, I can't. Yeah, when I used to be on the way home from Galen Lord, the guy in front of me smoked some kind of cigar. And I could smell them in my Camaro when he was down the road in front of me going down the highway.
The Camaro.
Oh, yeah. The black one.
But Mom used to do that. I mean, all the time. And Dad never smoked.
Yeah.
But Mom did smoke like a chimney.
Well, you know, my grandparents smoked before I was born. And it's funny to look back and see pictures of them smoking because it's so foreign to me, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, because you don't see pictures of that now.
No. Well, no, I'm just talking about family pictures.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But it was just so weird to see my grandmother sit there with a cigarette in her hand because I'd never known her to smoke, ever.
My grandmother smoked like a chimney. I mean, and the crazy thing about her is she would never ash. She would never flick the ash off.
She let the ash.
She would sit there. I can remember because we used to go up there during the summers, and we would sit there and watch Boston Red Sox baseball. And she would sit there at the end of the couch, and the TV was right there, screaming
with a cigarette
at the TV. And she had this, and she trembled a little bit.
Yeah.
But she had an ash that was about 2 inches long. And I'm sitting there going, that's going to go. That's going to go. That's going to start a fire. That's going to go. And just before it would fall, she wouldn't use the ashtray. She'd thump it off in her hand.
I'll tell you a funny story about about cigarettes that burn down. And I don't know if I've ever told this before, but, you know, when we first met Ray and his parents ended up leaving and going back up to Ohio, he stayed with us at the house. And he was a smoker. But neither one of us had jobs, so he couldn't afford to get any cigarettes. So what he would do, my stepfather would smoke about a half a cigarette and put it out. Ray would come along. Ray would come along and pick up the half-smoked cigarettes and put them in what he called, it was just an empty cigarette pack. He would drop them in there. He called it his premium butt pack.
I remember that.
And he would pull them out, but he would smoke them and make this face like, oh, Jesus, this is horrible, but I really needed this cigarette. Oh,
premium butt.
Premium butt pack, yeah.
Did anyone ever try to talk you into smoking oregano?
No, no one ever taught me into smoking anything.
Orange smoke.
Yes, yes, it was at the house. It was y'all.
Yep.
Yeah.
It wasn't me.
Somebody said smoking oregano was like either smoking a cigarette or smoking something.
Weed.
Or smoking weed. Yeah. So it was us. It was
us.
Okay.
Orange smoke.
So we were at the house and we were trying to smoke oregano. And what were we smoking it in? A pipe? I think it. I don't remember.
I thought it was rolled.
I think we rolled it in paper.
Found an old Bible with rice paper in paper and ripped the end out of a Bible.
Because I remember when I graduated high school, for some reason, I guess I was just being pretentious or whatever, I started smoking a pipe.
Oh my God! I think I remember that.
I swear, I got a pipe.
I think you and Sean both had a pipe.
Me and Sean and...
trying to look sophisticated
I want to say Rob Honeycutt.
Packing a bowl with Borkum Riff.
And we would, I mean, and I would sit there and smoke the, and then, you know, but I never inhaled the pipe.
Right. But, well, me and Cliff used to smoke cigars.
Oh, yeah.
But we didn't, I never inhaled that.
I mean, are you.
Cherry tips.
Are you supposed to inhale a cigar or a pipe?
No, not a cigar. But I don't know about a pipe.
It's the same type. You do not inhale cigars.
Not cigars.
They will make you sick.
Right.
But the pipe, I seem like we had a neighbor, Mr. Lawhorn, who was, when I was a kid, he was, this is when I lived in Richland Circle.
Oh, okay. But I know that name.
He had to be 90-something.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, he was super old, but he always smoked a pipe. That's one thing I remember about him. And I think he inhaled his.
Really?
Yeah, I believe so.
Because I tried it once, and it sucked.
He'd sit on his back porch when I was probably, 7, 8 years old, and I'd go over there, and he would, one of these who would do the trick where you'd pull a quarter or something out from behind your ear. And I just thought he was just magic. He'd be smoking on that pipe. Let me show you this. Oh, look what I found. I'm like, oh my God.
Where did he get that? He kept going by my ear. There's more money back there. But I remember smoking that pipe and I don't know what the hell I thought I was going to try to prove.
Well, how did the oregano turn out?
I mean, I think I did use the pipe to try the oregano and I packed it in there and as Cliff said, it was orange smoke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
and
weird.
Smoke was orange and I don't remember.
And I inhaled
it.
It was like the worst. It was like the absolute.
It couldn't have been the. I'll tell you the. Well, I don't know about the worst, but it was Sean. David's brothers, either Gene or Dean, one of them had in that back bedroom where David stayed up in the top of the closet, there was a big bucket of tobacco because I think it was Gene used to roll his own cigarettes. He was saving money. But it had been up there for years. So it was nice and fermented and old
and yucky.
So Sean decided to roll one up one day and smoke it. And it was just super strong and super bad and made him super sick. You'd think he would have learned his lesson.
Now, that oregano made me sick as hell.
Well, the other things made you sick too, so you should have never tried that.
Yeah, I mean, it was the absolute worst.
But you would think Sean would learn his lesson from smoking something you shouldn't smoke, but downtown one night, somebody dared Sean to smoke an entire pack at one time. So he pulled all the cigarettes out and held them in a big ball.
I remember that.
And lit them and inhaled it. And that he was laying in the backseat of my Buick for like a half an hour after that, just going, oh, God, I should have done it.
Surprised he didn't puke.
Really?
Well, he was on the verge of it. That's what I'm saying. He was sick as a dog after. I mean, he just took two or three puffs off of it.
The first time I tried to quit, I used a patch.
Uh,
slapped a whole 21-milligram patch on my arm.
Is that too, is that... Too much.
I don't know if you tried to roll it and it stuck to your lips.
Yeah, I was chewing on it, stuck inside my cheek.
You were trying to expedite the quitting process.
And it took about 8 minutes and I was just running to the toilet.
Really? Oh my God.
Puking. It was too much nicotine. Took it off. I was fine.
Oh my gosh. I went golfing. One of my few times ever going golfing. Went with Neil. I want to say I went with Neil and Craig. And I think we went to Traces. I may be wrong on that. But anyway, they were in the big vein of dipping.
Oh yeah.
And chewing. Mm-hmm. And they said, "Hey man, why don't you chew some with us?" Never done it before. And it was a hot summer day. It was about 97 degrees outside.
Oh yeah.
We had been drinking some beers and I was like, "I'll give it a shot." And of course, never have done it before. I don't know what portion to take out of the little satchel. So I take this huge, you know, you hear the commercial, just a little pinch between your cheek and gum. I took about 4 or 5 pinches and shoved them in there.
Now make sure you swallow that.
Before they said anything.
Oh, God, no, you didn't.
And they saw me. They said, "Well, you're not supposed to swallow." And I was like,
"Too late now."
Oh, did you see Sandlot?
Yeah,
the movie The Sandlot.
Uh-huh.
It was just like that. I'm sitting there like right there at a green, and I'm turning as green as it is, and
you know,
I was done.
Me and Eric Brown decided one time to try chewing tobacco. Neither one of us had ever had it. So we got us a pack of, I guess it was, what was the one with the Indian on it?
Red Man.
Yeah, Red Man. They probably don't make that anymore.
My dad used to chew that years ago.
But we had a pack of Red Man.
I remember your dad chewing a lot.
Or maybe it might have been Beech Nut because it had or maybe it was Red Man. Maybe Red Man made some wintergreen flavor. So I don't know. I just remember being very minty. And we packed it in our, you know, in our cheeks and we started, this ain't bad. You know, spitting on the ground and all. Well, we were meeting some people up at the head of the lake. This is tobacco. We figured it'd be fine, you know. We get about 3/4 of the way to the head of the lake, and Eric starts to laugh, and I start laughing. And what it was, we were drunk off of the chewing tobacco.
Oh, my God.
By the time we got up to the head of the lake, neither one of us could see.
How did you get drunk off of chewing tobacco?
Too much nicotine.
The nicotine. Neither one of us had ever chewed chewing tobacco in our lives.
I mean, you
and we just were shoving it in.
You know, first morning cigarette, that first one in the morning that makes you, while you're driving to work, that first time you get a little, your eyes start to close halfway and you get a little,
I get a little buzz. Head buzz.
That's what they had.
Had to lay down.
Yeah, but it was ridiculous. I mean, when we got out the truck, we kind of tumbled out. I mean, we could have got arrested for DUI, but we had no idea that was going to happen.
Oh, gosh.
We had never done that before, ever. But everything was hilarious. On those dirt roads, dude, we were like up on the embankments and just all over the little dirt roads. Luckily, we were going about 2 miles an hour by this point.
And there's nothing, you know, people that dip. I mean, there's a difference between people that chew and dip.
Yeah. I tried the dipping one time with the little Skull Bandit pouch things.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
But luckily for me, and that's why I didn't get hooked, it was Brian Mears who offered me some in the woods near his house. And I put it in, and I had an ulcer on my gum, and it burned, and I took it right out. And that soured me from dipping ever again.
Oh, my God. I mean, people that dip. And we've got friends that have dipped. Ashley Hall used to dip a lot.
Has he quit that?
No.
I don't know. But the thing that's just so disgusting about that is they'll spit in a bottle, and that spit's just sitting there. And then whenever they pull the dip out, it looks like a little cat turd. I mean, it's just they do. They go and it's like, how in the hell is that even, I mean, a cigarette. Yeah.
How is that enjoyable?
Yeah, smoke a cigarette. Do something else. I mean, that's just absolutely just blur.
You know, at least chewing tobacco is just like a big ball of leaves coming out of your mouth.
Which is, you know, incredibly natural.
Black cabbage. My mother and my wife both fuss at me about this now, but my grandfather, you know, he's been dead for, God, almost 15 years now. But he had heart surgery one time and was up at Providence Hospital ever in Columbia. And I was going over to visit him. And he called, or when I got to the room, he said, "Did you drive my truck over here?" I said, "Yes, sir, I did." He said, I got some chew in the back, but down in the glove box. Have it run down and get it for me. I ran right down there and got it. And Glenda said, no, because I was telling the story. She looked at me. She says, no, you did not. I said, oh, yeah. He asked me to get it, so I got it. And she's like, he wasn't supposed to have that.
But your granddad, though.
Yeah, but he's my granddaddy. He asked me to get his chewing tobacco. Damn it, I went and got it.
chewing tobacco. Yeah.
There was a line from a book. I think it was Kill a Mockingbird, where they're watching the judge during the trial, and the judge would take a whole cigar unlit in the courtroom. And they said during the course of the trial, you'd watch the cigar get smaller and smaller. He was chewing it.
I've seen, I've heard of people. You've always seen people that just have the cigar sitting.
Got two words for you, Cliff. Backwoods smokes.
No thanks.
You remember those?
Oh, God, yes.
Backwoods smokes.
Yeah, they had the little foil package.
That's what you should mean, Cliff, would smoke. Backwoods smokes. Either that or Swisher Sweets.
Cherry tips.
The night we quote unquote left Ray and Randy out at the lake.
Yeah,
we went to the Shell station. We didn't leave them really. We left them, but it wasn't our fault.
They said go on. So we went.
No, Johnny Stevens told us to go on. He was going to pick them up and take them home, and he did go get them. But he only went as far as his trailer. They ended up walking all the way back to town from Lake Robinson.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, from Pine Ridge. Anyway. But me and Cliff went to the Shell station, had a pack of Swisher Sweets and two Dr. Peppers, and went home and went to bed.
Yeah.
God.
I got a phone call the next morning from one of them. I can't remember if it was Randy or Ray one time. Come pick us up. We're at the Winn-Dixie.
And remember Ray had the pocket knife that he had to stab the dog?
Yeah, they called it Stink Dog. Did we ever tell that story?
No, we never told it.
All right, here we go. Randy he said he wanted to camp out at the head of the lake. He was going to get some, you know, he worked at the Winn-Dixie over there, so he could get lower priced, like reduced priced steaks. He said, let's go out to the head of the lake. We'll camp, build us a fire, cook us some steaks, some potatoes, and we'll just hang out. We're like, cool, that's good. Yeah. So he sets it up with Johnny Stevens to find us somewhere to go. Well, this was shortly after Hugo, I think, wasn't it, Cliff?
Mm-hmm.
And so long story short, it was me, Cliff, Randy, Ray. Johnny took us out there. We had all our steaks and potatoes wrapped up, ready to go. He takes us to a place. It was his grandmother's land, I think. She had a house up by the road, and it went maybe 300 or 400 yards back down to the lake. Well, we get down there. We get our fire built. We start grilling our steaks. You know, Johnny leaves us. He leaves, and he says, I'll be back later to check on y'all or whatever. So he leaves us. We grill our steaks. We get our potatoes. Everything's ready, and we realize we don't have anything to drink.
Mm-hmm. Lake water. That's all we thought.
We had nothing. Yep.
It crossed our minds.
Yeah. Okay. So we're like, dang, well, we got to do something. We can't eat these steaks. And Cliff, me and Cliff are like, well, I'll tell you what. Cliff had his car up there at the road because we followed Johnny out there. Cliff said, me and Ben, we'll go back to town, get us something to drink, and come back. Okay. Well, the getting out of there was way easier said than done because it was dark. You couldn't see. And we didn't know how to get back to the road. So me and Cliff start walking, and I got the bright idea. So let's just pick up some pine straw and light it like a torch. And so I picked it up like a branch with a bunch of dead pine straw and lit it. And I was looking, you know, and then you hear Randy and Ray start hollering, hey, what's going on? Because they thought we were burning the woods down. And we hollered back and said it was all right. And I said, all right, Cliff. I said, there's only one way out of here. I said, let's just pick a street light that we can see from here and we'll just walk. So half an hour later, not for us. We made it home. We finally get back to the car. We get back to the road, which is maybe 200 or 300 yards down from where we parked, because we just picked a light and just went for it, crawling over things, going under things. You know, it was dark, pitch black dark. So we go back to town, and we found Johnny in one of the parking lots up there, and we told him what was going on. He said, "I'll go get him. Don't worry about it. I'll go pick him up." So cool. We went and had our cigars or Dr. Peppers, and we went to bed. Or went home, and Cliff went home, and I went home. We went to bed.
Did you have your steak?
No, we never did get our steak. We left them at the lake with Ray and Randy. Well, anyway, they said they waited there for a long time, and we never came back. And they thought, we are stranded. So that's when they scooped up lake water in a cup.
No.
And they were looking at it thinking, oh, God. Oh, God, no. But we're so... Because the steaks were salty.
They salted the steaks.
They salted the steaks. So they were so thirsty, so they were like, just do it. One of them took a gulp and said it was terrible. And at some point, they saw the game warden out there on his boat, and they were trying to contact the game warden by using tinfoil and moonlight to, to reflect, you know, to give them a signal. Obviously, that didn't work. So they, I think, you know, several hours later, Johnny finally gets back and he picks them up, takes them to his trailer. They're like, "We need to go back to town." He's like, "No, nah, I'm too tired. We got to stop here for a while." So they stopped at his trailer. He had a friend over, a girl. I know who she was. I'm not going to call her name out, but apparently her feet stank so bad,
Oh,
it filled the entire trailer with smell. And Randy and Ray just looked at her like, "There's no way." They tried to sleep. They're like, "Just there's no freaking way."
Oh my!
So they left. Well, they started walking back to Hartsville. I'm trying to remember the sequence of events. They found a pack of Cool cigarettes near the substation on 151. Tried to smoke those. They were apparently horrible. It was menthol. They ended up giving them away to some homeless guy they saw when they got back to town. They decided to take a shortcut through Botany Woods. Well, this was a Sunday morning because it was Saturday night when we left them. Well, Ray was kind of dating a girl who lived in Botany Woods, and as they're walking through the neighborhood looking like a couple of vagrants, this girl and her parents were pulling back up coming home from church. And they looked and saw Ray and Randy, and Ray was like, "Hey." But there was apparently a hound dog that kept following him and smelled really bad. And so I think Ray stabbed him in the butt or something.
Oh, my.
Just poked him, you know, not like stabbed him.
Just kind of poked him with a little pocket
knife. I remember him. He borrowed that knife from me to cut the steaks with.
That's right. That's what the knife was for.
He gave it back to me. He goes, "It's got some dog stink on it."
So anyway,
no, thank you.
I get a phone call. It's probably 1 o'clock, 1:30. And it's Ray or Randy, one of them, I can't remember, saying, "Come get us." I was like, "Well, where y'all at?" You know, because I expect them to be home by now.
Yeah.
And they're like, "We're at the Winn-Dixie." So I was like, "Okay, I'll come get you." So I drive up to the Winn-Dixie, and there they are. Randy is laying down on the bench asleep. Ray is sitting up on the bench asleep, and there's an empty gallon of Choco Charm on the ground. They had enough money to buy Choco Charm in the store, and they drank it while they waited on me to come pick them up.
Choco Charm is the best.
But it was a long...
Oh, my God.
For them, anyway.
You know we're going to get phone calls from both of them now.
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I'm going to tag them. But,
Yeah. You got to.
There'll be some type of correction.
You left us!
Yeah, we didn't.
That's what they keep saying.
They think
we didn't.
Somebody I mean, else. Technically, yes, we physically left you there, but there
was a plan.
That's right. We arranged for a ride to come get them, which did come get them. Just because he didn't deliver them back where they wanted to go, that's not mine and Cliff's fault.
Yeah. That's right. It's not your fault. They didn't want to stay with the stinky feet girl.
There were cigars to be smoked and Dr. Peppers to be drank.
See, we lived the high life back then.
Right.
That's right.
That's right. As a matter of fact, we were in the Honda.
Yeah, and we didn't need other people's problems getting in our way.
That's right. You were big pimping.
That's right.
Big time.
That's right.
All right, well, the final thing that that parents did when we were younger that could get them arrested today.
Oh, God, I forgot we were talking about that.
I know. It what happens. I've done this, is taking pictures of their kids in the tub.
Now, see, I've done that, but not like the full... Just like Monty. From the side,
yeah,
you know where the tub part is blocking all their, you know, privacy.
Well, I mean, and I remember of Cassie, there was we had bought this little. It was a tub that fit in the tub.
How old was she though?
One.
Yeah, see, I think that'd still be
ago.
Okay. It was
a couple weeks.
Yeah, she's 13. It was a few weeks ago.
It wasn't anything big.
Haven't sold them or anything.
But you know, nowadays, I mean, you hear about people.
You're going to get a knock on your door.
Yeah,
somebody's going to come over here, and it won't be your mom and dad.
Yeah, no, because they're knocking from below. But I know some people here recently have been complaining on Facebook where they have taken pictures of their kids in the in the tub.
Walmart.
They put them up on Facebook.
Oh,
and then somebody will report them and say that's inappropriate.
Well, then unfriend me.
It's pedos all over,
or unfriend whoever, not me, but you know.
But I mean, I mean, like I said, I took pictures of Cassie when she was like one. In the tub, and I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, it's okay, but then again, you know,
you didn't post them on Facebook.
No. I mean, and I still have them, and I would never post them, but I will pull them out on prom night.
Oh yeah, and show her little fella.
The first dinner when I introduced my now wife to my mother and father.
Oh, yeah.
Dad's like, "Oh, let's set up the slide projector."
Oh.
And my dad's got stacks and stacks of slides.
Oh.
And first one on the list. There he is in the bathtub when he's about one and a half.
See, I didn't deal with that with Rebecca, but what I did deal with...
Did she say, oh, my God, you're the same?
Yeah, pretty much. So there really was no disappointment.
So it's not shrinkage.
I thought you were going to say, when she got her there, your dad wanted her to get in the tub.
What?
Here it comes. Here it is.
Must be late.
The next segment
that
is
was
brought
my
to you
job.
By, the next segment is brought to you by Pseudo Bumper. Here it comes.
Oh, gosh.
I think it's already done.
I'm just really
that was
tired.
It.
No, he's...
No, continue. I'm all right.
A little fit.
Now, I remember when I met Rebecca's parents, they came over to the house, and we were looking at pictures on the computer, and he brought his flash drive over, and he's like, here, load his flash drive. I want to show you some pictures.
Uh-oh.
And it started off with pictures of Connor and Cameron, mm-hmm. but then it went into a photo collage of his firearm arsenal.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, here's my AR-15. Mm-hmm. Here's my assault shotgun. Here, da 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 da. And I was like,
yeah, you're getting your point.
That's what I said. But I mean, instead of the embarrassing baby pictures, but I don't think my parents ever took embarrassing baby pictures other than and the picture is somewhere, and if I can find it, I will get it for you guys.
Is it you naked? No,
it's
thank
me
you.
It's me in a sailor suit.
Oh, now that one, yeah, I'd like to see that.
I was probably 4 or 5, and it was the family photo, and Stephen and Lori are dressed as human beings, and TJ is dressed in a damn sailor suit.
Now, I've got one of me in pajamas with a guitar and a cowboy hat.
Yeah, no, I was in a sailor suit.
I don't think I would be ridiculous.
Let me say
like
that again. A sailor suit. Now, who's that a pick? That's me when I was two. But you're not in a sailor suit.
No. But he's on the toilet reading the newspaper and the comic book.
That's actually really good. That's actually really good.
This picture has been mounted in a frame by my father and given to my wife, and it now sits on our mantelpiece.
Nice.
I'm not kidding.
It sits on our mantle.
That is absolutely priceless. But, yeah, I mean, our parents did a bunch of stuff that nowadays would certainly get them arrested.
A lot of the things. Imagine some of the things like the playpens, the strollers, the cribs, kind of things that were just death traps back then.
My grandmother used to tell a story before she passed that they had an old 1940s era crib that had been handed down through the family, and the way it was put together, the bottom just sat. The bottom was a plank; it just sat in the bottom of the crib.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing was before any kind of OSHA, any kind of safety, anything.
Right.
And probably was loaded with lead paint and sharp pointed edges and the ends of screws. Anyway, she said she came in one day when she was keeping me when I was a baby, and that my head had gotten stuck. The bottom of the bed, bottom of the crib had fallen down, and I had apparently slid out. And she said his big head was just stuck in the bottom of the crib between the rail and the bottom. And he just looked at me. He wasn't crying or anything.
He wasn't crying or anything.
Because I was probably suffocating to death, Grandma.
She didn't scream or nothing.
No.
You know, we had a...
Picked him up, brushed him off, and stuck him back in the crib.
The high chair that we used to feed the kids in at my grandmother's house was one that she had from when she was a baby. Mm. And everybody in the family had gone there. I sat in it. My mother had sat in it. My aunts. Everybody, you know.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem that unsafe. It was one of these that had wheels on the bottom, and you could lift it up and down and roll it around if you had to.
Yeah.
But it was okay. It just got repainted, you know, 1,800 times. Wow. But I don't know what happened to that thing. My grandmother, when she moved to the nursing home, they had like an estate sale, and I'm sure one of my relatives got a hold of that chair.
I can remember, and this would probably get a parent arrested now, is I used to play in the car. Mm-hmm. Like I was driving when I was young. I'm talking like
with the car running.
Five,
when they
six.
Leave you in the car.
No, but not running. But it was back in the day that you didn't need the key to use the shifter.
Oh yeah, the shift or the brake.
You throw it into
anything.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
it
was
neutral.
On your old street, right across from the neighborhood, right across from Shamrock. That was
Cherokee.
Yeah, you know that hill.
Yeah.
Mom was visiting somebody and hanging out with them, and. I had to have been 5 or 6. Five or six. And she was letting me play in the car. And sure enough, popped that thing in the neutral and coasted on down the hill and crashed into another car. While I mean, no seatbelt. I mean, the door was half open. I was trying to get out, and then, bam! And
oh my God,
Mom was oblivious in the house. And I can say this now because she's dead. She's not going to get arrested,
right? No. Well, they might dig her up.
Statute of limitations has run out. But I mean, sure as hell. I mean, and I caused. Well, I didn't cause a lot of damage because that's back when cars were made out of you know solid steel.
Yeah. After a wreck, you just exactly hose the dash off and sell it to somebody else.
Yeah, and just move on. But yeah, I mean, I remember hitting the car and slamming into the steering wheel.
Dang.
And I think I got a little banged up, but you know, but now if you think about that, you know, thankfully there's safety features on them now, but I mean, you can imagine if it was that way now, she probably certainly would have been taken off to jail.
Oh yeah.
Steven, you all right?
You would have gone to you would have had DSS come and get you.
And where would have I ended up?
The orphanage, because that's how long ago it was.
Right.
The house for feral children.
The boys' home.
Oh, I could be like little orphan TJ.
Well.
Quick, think of a joke. Come on. We can't do it.
I got nothing. All right.
Wait a minute. I got one. You are little orphan TJ.
I am. I have nobody.
Except your brother and your sister, your wife, her
your
children.
Aunt, your cousins.
Kids. Yeah, I got my brother and my sister that I never talk to. And
well, you talk to Steven more than you do your sister.
Yeah, my sister. And Lori lives right here in town.
Right, she lives here in town.
And right now, if somebody walked up to me and said, is your sister alive? I would be like, I don't know.
I know you couldn't answer.
I mean, I'm telling you, I don't know when the last time.
Unlike me, if somebody walked up and said, is your brother alive? I'm going to say, is the sun shining? He's called me 15 times today. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Which actually hadn't. He called me, I was supposed to call him back today, and I forgot. Sorry, Adam.
Yeah, sorry.
I'll call you tomorrow.
And I'm just as guilty as,
right,
as
exactly.
Not calling
she,
them.
She lives right here in town. How many times do you call her?
Yeah, I mean we're both, it's just weird that we don't stay in touch more than and it's nothing, you know, angry. It's not that we don't like each other.
You have your life, she has her life.
Yeah, I mean, and Steven has his life, and Steven is, you know, working two full-time jobs,
and
one
kids.
At the medical university and one at the VA hospital. And I can imagine the whole VA hospital thing has got to be a little weird now.
He's evidently not doing much down there.
All right, let's get Steve to sing a song. And then,
yeah, that sounds good. Steve, you singing something?
As the end of the show falls flat on its ass.
Yeah.
well,
we had to say it because otherwise everybody else would have
said
it.
We're running, out of steam.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning, for God's sake.
I got to be back up at like 8.
Yeah, me too.
I don't.
He doesn't even respond. He just gets up like an old man.
Anyway, you can really find us on the website. What's that, TJ?
Find us on the website, onlyfunnydance.com. You can also find us on iTunes. We are all over different entities that are streaming podcasts. The OFTU Network, where you can find Al's Toddcast as well.
That's right.
Which comes out the same time. Theirs comes out on
Mondays, too, I think.
Mondays as well.
Same as that comes already.
And new ones are out on Mondays at 8.
The next concert on College is going to be September the 25th.
No, don't you mean concert on Maine?
I'm sorry. Concert's on Maine, right, TJ? Concert's on College. I can't remember who the act is off the top of my head. I guess I should be more prepared.
Nah.
The next one's September the 25th. It's going to be Zach Reiner and Friends. So they're rock artists is what it says.
Okay. They always have some great artists out there.
Yeah, the one last night, Justin Anderson, he was really good.
Yeah, he's very good.
Big turnout.
And he's got a huge following. He's going to do quite well.
He does a lot of local things. Matter of fact, he was telling us last night that all he does now is music full time. So that's good. You know.
Yeah, so I'm friends with him on Facebook. He actually was, he's going to start writing some new stuff. He was supposed to be doing it over the last couple of days.
Yeah, he played a song last night. He said he wrote it and it was pretty good. So I guess, you know, he's got those kind of chops too.
It's amazing that we have this kind of talent right around here.
Yeah,
because he's right in this area. Speaking of local talent and people that are in high demand to sing,
that's right.
There's none of them here tonight.
Steve Crowley, ladies and gentlemen.
For God's sake, someone's got to take a picture of what he looks like now. Oh, my God. He looks...
He looks like he had another first time with the coffee.
Was it sweet and
dark and rich? And her name was Arabica.
Arabica.
Just the tip, just to see how it, see how it is.
And it felt hot.
It's a hot French roast he's got over there.
Hey, yeah, hey, yeah. Guess what's happening now?
Good night.